Hopefully.
It's the part two is shorter than part one. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for more Drunk and Dangerous. A summer of wolves. They're finally wolves. At the end of part one, which is where we last left off, they killed a wolf, and now there's more. Oops, all wolves. There's a summer of them. Didn't you read the title? You could have been fooled, though, for the first, like, three parts. There was a mere suggestion, maybe, of wolves. You're like, yeah, it could be a wolf. Who knows? Will you see it? I don't know. Read the next 20 pages to find out. Anyway, I wouldn't mind a nice buildup if it wasn't just, like, teasing wolves. It wasn't exciting. It was just, like, you could see the spaces where the action could have been, but it all already happened off screen. So, you know. Now we're in part two. If you're not laughing, it's because all of the comedy happens off screen. It's a narrative choice. You don't understand my art. So for part two, let's continue. More wolves. Will someone be killed finally? We can only hope. Part two. The silence that followed couldn't have been more than a second or two. But it felt like an eternity. But it felt like a couple weeks. Sam, we're coming over the hill now. You should see our lights. I don't remember who's talking. Such a generic southern person. I looked down and was greeted by the sight of two large yellow orbs. It was Marge Simpson. She was flashing. I see them. Samantha clipped the radio to her belt. We're gonna have to make a break for it, she said. There was another howl from below. This time it was noticeably closer. I slung my rifle again and reloaded my handgun. It would be far easier to shoot on the run. I'm ready. I hope he holds his gun sideways. I bet he does. It gives the bullets like a spiral. He saw that movie. Samantha took off like a bullet. See, he knows. Covering great bounds with each stride of her long legs. I followed, and this time I had no trouble keeping up. The adrenaline coursing through my veins muted every ache and pain I'd earned on the day's hike. We slipped and slid, but somehow each managed to keep our feet. Well, I would fucking hope so. I've walked a lot and never lost my feet. I don't mean to brag, but they're still here attached to my body. Both of them. The truck met us along a dirt road and barely slowed down long enough for Samantha and I to hurl ourselves into its bed. It's like Uber, basically. I'm in a rush. I'm going to slow down. You just jump in. No sooner had I slammed into the rough bedliner did Mr. Peterson shove the accelerator down. He's got quotas, okay. We bounced violently in the back, on a few occasions nearly being bucked entirely out of the truck, but I didn't dare ask him to slow down. He doesn't even know about the wolves. He just fucking hates them. There were more of those fucking things out there, and they would be pissed when they found out we killed their friend, if they didn't know already. As soon as we reached the Peterson Ranch, Samantha jumped out the back of the truck and slammed the gate closed. I knew why she did it, but it struck me as oddly funny. I'd seen what these things did to the gate on Dave's land. It wouldn't stop them. Samantha caught my eye as she got back in and seemed to know what I was thinking. It will slow him down. Might buy us time to get a gun or shot off. I nodded in reply. You mean the shot to kill yourself, right? Before they rip you apart? Is that the shot you were talking about? We drove up to the house, and just like this morning, Mr. Peterson parked his vehicle as close as he could to his front porch without actually parking on it. Mad. He's a madman. No sooner than the instant the engine died were we all inside, locking the door behind us.
Sit,
Mr. Peterson said, pointing toward the table. I shed my pack and set my rifle across it. The adrenaline that coursed so readily in my veins before was beginning to fade. Exhaustion began to set in as I sat heavily on one of the long oak benches. Samantha did the same, resuming her place near the head of the table. Dave followed suit, taking a seat next to me, his face impassive. Mr. Peterson joined us at the table, carrying four glasses and a large bottle of whiskey. Is this a time to be getting drunk? I would say probably not, but, you know, I feel like maybe he'd shoot you if you don't take it. This guy loves his guns, so maybe just take it anyway, you know. He poured each of us a healthy measure and pushed the glass in front of me. He's like, drink it. It's the only way you can prove you're not a wolf.
So,
he began, quaffing his drink in one go and refilling it.
There are more than one you killed tonight.
Two more, I think. It would be more plausible that the attacks we've seen are the work of three total, considering... Oh, shit, that's the girl. Fuck, man, I should have known sooner. Two more, I think. It would be more plausible that the attacks we've seen are the work of three total, considering the geography between them. Of course, it was far too smart an answer for this male protagonist to have given it. I remember he basically was stuttering and stammering and, like, me not understand how things work. As if the conversation was perfectly normal.
Who killed it?
Mr. Peterson asked, looking between Samantha and me.
In truth, I think Salem took it down. I made sure it would stay that way,
she answered.
What the fuck was that thing?
I blurted out. I looked accusingly at Mr. Peterson and Samantha.
I know it wasn't a fucking wolf.
But, like, to be fair, he did see the title and he was like, well, it says wolves. This is Summer of Wolves, not like it's not a wolf, though. I feel like that's kind of catfishing. A summer of quasi-wolf-type creatures doesn't really roll off the tongue, but I don't know, I feel duped too.
Wolves don't walk upright and fell trees with a single swing.
I don't know, have you ever fought a wolf before? I'm guessing not. You wouldn't know.
Salem,
Dave said, placing a hand on my shoulder.
You need to understand something.
Oh, wait, shit. Is that the guy who talks really slow? It's Dave. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Salem,
Dave said, placing a hand on my shoulder. I hate this guy. Just why doesn't he die?
You need to understand something.
He began far too slowly for my liking. I would not have known it was this guy if he didn't once again bring up how fucking slowly he talks. Just make him a talking sloth person or something would make more sense. The way that you... Does he have a brain injury? He can talk at normal speeds when he's full of adrenaline. Like, what is this? The opposite of his superpower? Adrenaline kicks in and he gets, like, able to function like a human. I don't know. That's kind of sad. Apparently he's not scared enough. Maybe you need to just put on a wolf mask, be like, ooga booga, and then he'll just talk normally. I wanted answers now, and I didn't have the patience to wait for him to trickle out an explanation.
Samantha, you explain.
I cut him off, looking to where she sat. Samantha raised a blonde eyebrow and cast me an uncertain look from over her glass. She took a large sip and set it down, meeting my gaze.
It was a werewolf. I think there are two more, she answered.
I blinked. Despite what I saw, I wasn't prepared for that.
Like from a movie?
Oh, honey. Oh, he should stay back for this mission. I don't think he's ready. Samantha smiled. No, these are real. How do you know the ones in movies aren't real, huh? You don't, checkmate. You haven't seen every movie. I looked down at my glass to make sure I hadn't touched it. convinced the only way that any of this made sense is if I was drunk already and misheard her. It was full. I believe you. You don't have to keep going into details. No, I think you did drink it. It was full. The amber liquid sat untouched within the glass confines. Thank you for really making sure I know that. Me explaining to my professor why my assignment's gonna be late. I opened my mouth to speak again, but Samantha raised a finger. She rose and made her way over to a small bookshelf, selected one, and returned to the table. "It's the dictionary," she's like. "Forget what you've heard. Werewolves aren't transformed by bites. They can't shift only on full moon. They're the perverted product of black magic and an unwilling victim." Okay, but that sounds hot though, right? I feel like I'm warped, maybe. It's my channel. Listen, you guys come here for that, right? Unwilling victims, perverted black magic. Like, hell yeah, what? You made werewolves hotter? Don't judge me. You fucking judge me. You're listening to this. She set the book down in front of me. The book had a foul, musty odor. Does anyone here feel called out? I'm kidding. Its pages turned at the corner and yellowed, but the text was plain to see. "Werewolves are one of the most misunderstood beasts of the black arts. A perfectly reasonable man transformed against his will into a mindless killing machine bent to carry out the will of its master." I read the text 3 times before I really understood what I was reading. "Werewolves are typically enslaved to a wielder of magic, a witch or warlock, who turns their victim and then uses their supernatural strength and speed to their benefit. The spell to create a werewolf not only transforms man into beast, but bends their mind to the will of their tormentor. They are immune to most mortal weapons, but are particularly vulnerable to silver, mountain ash, and wolfsbane or monkshood." And it's like, you can get them at www. I looked around the room. "Are you all fucking nuts? Or fucking with me or something?" To my surprise, Samantha laughed. "I can understand why you'd think so. But really think about what you saw tonight. You know anything 8 feet tall and covered with fur? Can't think of anything else you can empty an entire magazine on and it kept coming at you? I took one of the special rounds I gave you to bring it down." She stood abruptly and went to my hiking pack. It took her a second to locate the pouch that contained the box of cartridges she'd given me and remove one. She crossed the table and held it close to my face for inspection. "Silver rounds rolled in crushed wolfsbane." I mean, that'd be kind of weird. It's rolled in wolfsbane. Don't you think he'd notice how weird that was, like, felt? "It's what did the job." She shrugged. "Well, the .230 caliber rounds I put in its head and heart helped." I stared at the round for a second, then killed my glass of whiskey. I fought through the burn and turned my gaze toward Samantha. "This is fucking real?" "Yes. Yes, Salem, it is," Dave said in his usual slow voice. "And this is a problem you've had before," I wondered aloud. "Yes," Mr. Peterson began before draining his glass again and refilling it. "My God, dude, either you're an alcoholic or you're going to get fucking wasted." "Around the time I bought land from that old bat Ruka. She was down on her luck and had to sell me a few acres to keep her ranch afloat." And they had another arrangement, but they don't talk about that. "Shortly after we ran into the first one of those monsters, my wife put it down, clean heart shot from 1,000 yards. I looked at Samantha. She'd mentioned something similar earlier, but I hadn't pressed. I knew that Mrs. Peterson was long departed, taken too soon by cancer. What, are you questioning God's plan? It's not cool. "So, what do we do next?" I asked aloud. I mean, as opposed to in your head, which is a good way to ask questions. We find the witch and kill her. What should have been done the last time? Samantha said, casting her father an annoyed look. Yeah, why aren't you killing witches? What the fuck? Mr. Peterson did not meet his daughter's eye.
The wolves, too, may be reluctant participants in this game, but they need to die.
I slammed my fist into the table, a sudden wash of guilt crashing into me.
So your solution is to kill the innocent people, turn to monsters, and kill the witch that transformed them?
Well, that's a mouthful, man. I picked up the book, flipped it closed, and threw it towards Mr. Peterson. That is not solving anything. Now, see, you need to handle your anger. I understand you don't want these people killed, but to pushing your point by resorting to book-throwing violence doesn't seem fair. That's clearly an old book. You might damage it, and that could be worth a lot of money. And then you wouldn't be paid fucking anything for this job. I'm just saying, you want to be employable, right? In this very specific werewolf-killing field.
Your books say anything about what happens to the magic if we kill the witch? Does it save the men turned into wolves? Turn them back or something?
No. Now they're extra wolves. You fucked it up. Mr. Peterson looked uncomfortable for a brief second.
You have any experience with magic?
He said through clenched teeth. I looked around the room as if hoping so would remind the rest of the people assembled I was the neophyte to this world.
No. What kind of fucking question is that?
Mr. Peterson nodded, took another drag from his glass, and stared me down through squinted eyes. I mean, you're on your third glass of whiskey. I don't know if you talking about how magic is real, if this is good timing.
Salem, magic is like radiation in a way.
He doesn't understand it, but the colors are pretty to look at.
You can cut the source, but once the damage is done, it's done.
He pointed toward the darkened windows, out at the woods beyond.
There's no coming back for them.
Well, let the court decide. Like, they had no mens rea. They were also victims. So, like, I mean, death penalty wouldn't be given in that situation. Sorry, you're just wrong. I mean, if you're going with legality, you're not allowed to just murder people, especially if they're not aware nor willing and are literally being puppeted by other people. Like, they're being puppeted. They're complete victims. It's totally fucked to kill them. Like, that just seems like you're doing it in vengeance. I can't imagine a good old Southern gentleman would go with extrajudicial vengeance, violence. What? Huh? I'm shocked. No one said anything for a while. Maybe they're just afraid he's going to get his gun again, and he's way too happy with that thing. I occupied by myself by refilling my glass and sipping on the whiskey inside. It was Dave who spoke next.
So, this witch, who do we think it is?
It's obvious, Samantha said at once. It's got to be Ruka. She was the only one who wasn't present, the only one who stands to benefit from the deaths in our herd.
Mr. Peterson nodded.
She makes the most sense.
So what are we supposed to do? Roll up on her house and shoot her? I interjected. That's murder.
Mr. Peterson's eyes narrowed, and he gave me a hard look. He's like, God damn it,
who gave him the dictionary?
It became immediately apparent to me this was not the flippant option I offered, but something real.
One of these monsters killed Brennan today. That was murder. This is justice.
Yeah, it sounds like a justification, all right. Yeah, what that country did was terrible. My country did was justified, all right?
It's what has to get done. We're at war. Civilities and speculation are out of the question.
You're at war with witches? That's gonna hold up real well in court, sir. How much whiskey did y'all consume before you went on a murdering spree? Witches aren't real. I didn't balk under his gaze. You say Ruka makes the most sense. She stands to benefit the most from your herd dying. I paused, hoping he would fill in the gape. Oh, he's gonna fill in your gape, all right. But he'll have to pay extra. He also spelled herd wrong. I just need y'all to know that. I was the outsider. Perhaps I hoped he would remember. Yeah, I know. You say that a fucking lot. Maybe just tell him that. Maybe just remind him yourself. He's not a mind reader. Obviously. Yet no answer came, so I was forced to ask, how? Yeah, you forced me to be direct with my question. Fuck you. I'm anxious.
He's the first of these things showed up shortly after Ruka was forced to sell off part of her land to keep her ranch afloat. If enough of our herd dies, we'll be forced to resort to a similar measure to make ends meet ourselves. She'd get a chance to buy her land back.
My jaw about dropped. That's your proof? It's circumstantial at best. You need more. I mean, that's more, it's not even circumstantial. It's just, well, here's a motive, but I have no evidence. Just the motive. Just because I don't like you. I think it's probably you. Like, that's not even evidence. Peterson opened his mouth to reply, but I was not going to let him get a word in. Yeah, that's how I debate. I realize this isn't something you can call the police about. I saw the monster, I fought it, and I'm still struggling to come to grips with the idea that magic and monsters are real. But we need to know for certain before we just go off and murder someone. He's like, but that's not fun. I don't like due process. I want to murder now before I think of the consequences. Wait, let me drink more whiskey. Maybe I can do both. Peterson's jaw clenched. The muscles rippled visibly in his face. My God, they've got abs on his jaw. I mean, I clenched my jaw too out of stress, but damn, dude, calm down. They shouldn't be rippling. But I could tell he knew I was right. He looked at a loss for words and looked toward his daughter. We need to act quickly, though, Samantha said. Our cows are dying, and with each one we lose, we take a financial hit. Most ranchers around here won't hesitate to act in the defense of their herd. It's our livelihood, after all. I understand. I met the eyes of everyone at the table. I really do, but what is your recourse here? You plan on just rolling up on Ruka and putting a bullet in her? There was a long silence at the table.
If she's a witch, then yes,
Peterson finally answered. I let loose a sarcastic laugh. Ha ha. And how do you plan about testing that? Gonna hold her underwater, and if she can breathe, she's a witch? Burn her at the stake? I didn't want to say the name of the witch trials I was referencing since it was also my name, and I felt it would make light of the seriousness of the situation. But you still had to tell us and make it about you, huh? I didn't want to say it had anything to do with my name, but like, what a weird coincidence, right? That's like, but I don't want to make light of it, but like, it's so weird, right? Like, I'm so special and magical, right? To continue with the analogy my father used earlier, magic like radiation leaves a physical imprint. You get burning cancer. Samantha began getting up from the table. She walked over to a large bookshelf and removed a leather-bound photo album. She flicked it open, scanned through it before finding what she wanted and returning to the table, plopping the album open in front of me. I scanned the photographs in front of me. There was a series of images, some pulled from newspaper clippings, others were clearly taken using an instant camera that printed the picture right after taking it. The photo series was organized to demonstrate a before and after setup, the newspaper clippings providing the before photo, usually with the headline "Missing," plastered above in thick, black block lettering. The people in these photos were normal-looking, to say the least. The photo to their right, however, despite the person in the photograph still being the same person, They'd physically changed. Oh, it's like one of those faces of meth things. Their eyes were now bloodshot. Their skin had taken a yellowish pallor. Dark red, almost black lines traced their flesh like veins, creeping like ivy up their neck and over their faces. The teeth yellowed, their pupils distorted. The black of their eyes almost totally eclipsed this, leaving just a faint ring of color at the corners. It looked like a virus had taken hold, like something unnatural was feeding off of them. These pictures look damning, but I was uncertain. I mean, have you heard of, like, Photoshop AI stuff? I mean, weird pictures don't mean shit, but also, hold on a second. So are you saying that because they've been damaged by the magic, you should just kill them because they look bad now? Maybe give them a chance to heal and see if it goes back. Don't just execute them because, I don't want to look at you like that. Gross. Like, if we could keep people alive who were, like, horribly radiation burned massively, you can at least keep this person alive for having, like, weird deformities. Come on. You can maybe just try to see if they could heal instead of killing them. I mean, I get the medical bill would be very high, and I might be like, nah, just kill me. But I'd seen the proof of magic in person, but my mind was still looking for a rationale solution to all of this. It could be drugs. See? Thought the same thing. Meth did crazy things to people. Okay, now, at that point I have to say, it's more makeup than meth. I've never seen meth make black lines all over your face and body. Sounds more like decomposition or something. For all I knew, I could be looking at the result of extended drug use. Oh, man. You were definitely a DARE graduate, weren't you? I said as much, and my comments were met with laughter. Well, no shit, man. I don't believe in werewolves, but I'm definitely laughing at you, too. Samantha's laughter was biting, annoyed. Ha, ha, ha. I thought the same. But then again, I'd not seen what you had. She pulled the book away from me and snapped it violently shut. Everyone here is so violent. You killed a werewolf tonight. What more proof do you need? I'm done coddling you. We'll do as we see fit. I snatched the album back, feeling my temper rise. I did not enjoy being talked to like I was a child. I suppose the other girls, they love it. This was not a lesson in arithmetic I was failing to grasp. My world was being turned on its head. I was being confronted with the reality that magic was real, monsters walked the earth, and more than likely I would be pitted against them in the near future. As far as I was concerned, being a skeptic was a fairly understandable defense mechanism. I was entitled to the bliss of a few short moments without the realization that I would be hunted against yet another supernatural killing machine. No, I said, more firmly than I felt. You need my help. You've said it before, there isn't anyone else around that can take a shot at one of these things from as far away as I can. So, unless you want to risk another round up close and personal, then you're going to get proof Ruka is behind it before we run off and put a bullet in her. A heavy silence settled over the room. They knew I was right. And wolves in the meantime? Samantha inquired. I could tell she was annoyed, but I didn't care. Those we can hunt, I answered. I felt slightly sick for saying as much, but the evidence was there. I was done with being gentle. I mean, you shot the first one. Is that gentle? You might feel similarly if you saw a giant beast shear a tree in half with what looked like a lazy swipe of its paw, hand, whatever you want to call it. Samantha seemed to agree first, and her endorsement carried her father's mind. As soon as she agreed, so did he, and the matter seemed settled. Dave asked for another few shots. He took them as fast as Mr. Peterson seemed to be able to pour. I was bothered by that, but I was a trigger man. I did not need Dave to do anything more than shut up and ride in the truck if it came to it. Still, it would be hard to drive and shoot at the same time if Dave was too inebriated to drive. Who cares? Fuck it, it's just your life. As soon as Dave felt brave enough, I found myself hurried towards his truck again. I can't say my rifle was out while I was uncertain of the potency of a wolfsbane round. Dave was predictably hammered. I loaded him into the passenger side, took the bullets out of his rifle, and let him hold it for courage. I climbed into the driver's seat and drew my sidearm. I had my handgun at the pseudo ready, my trigger finger against the guard. I know some of you in the comments might be squawking that I'm too cynical. Wow, why are you so defensive? That the proof of the potency of those rounds was a dead wolf. Well, you have to be here, so fuck off. Maybe he'll die. That's so rude. I didn't even say anything, asshole. Dave sort of successfully thumbed the window down. His first few tries were nothing to write home as a success. You write some shitty letters, man. It took him about 10 tries, but the window went down and his rifle barrel was pointed out. Meanwhile, I kept my right hand on the wheel. My left was on my handgun, tucked neatly between my legs. I felt I could pull it and shoot it if it came to it. I tucked my 270 between the seats, set the brights on, and set off. I never got a second chance to test the silver rounds. I drove Dave home, helped him into his house, and even used his spare key to lock up. Then I managed to walk back to my truck. Keep in mind, my handgun light was moving like a goddamn searchlight, but I saw nothing. I got into my Chevy, drove home, and thanked God I saw nothing. I wish I could tell you that the next night, on some lonely portion of the ranch, I fought the battle of my life. That didn't happen. Oh, come on. I knew it. You were going to give me another, like, yeah, the action took place off screen. It was great. Also, we had this super weird sex scene. The wolf came by, but only for loving. But I can't talk about that part. But I think it changed me forever. But that's for another day. It was almost a month before things changed. I really am glad you're not telling us about that whole month. After the chaos of midsummer, I was almost hoping I could return to A&M with minimal worry. It had been near 2 weeks without any sign of a beast. Aw, almost 2 weeks, no beast? That sucks. I almost had chalked it up to a wild dream that involved my life here in the canyon. Not going to lie, I thought about packing up and leaving many times over the month, but I gave Dave my word I was here for the summer. Your word in Texas is your bond, at least around these parts. I don't know, I feel like you might say that, but that's kind of like, I'm religious, I can't be a bad person. Why are you saying it, though? I don't know. And I was not going to give anyone a reason to doubt me. I almost succeeded in leaving without another bout with the monster, but that was before Samantha showed back up. She appeared like an... What is this analogy? She appeared like an early morning fog to a blind man. You could just feel her as a mist on your hands and feet. You're like, it's humid. She's here. She's the humidifier. That's what they call her. She's weirdly moist. She appeared like an early morning fog to a blind man. Someone call Hallmark. Get that on a card. There was no indication, no snap of stick, no rustle of leaves or a swinging branch. She was just there. This was like Batman. You wouldn't be a blind man, you'd just be a Batman. As if she'd been there from the beginning and the hours I'd spent mending the fence, I just failed to notice she existed. Samantha looked annoyed as soon as she found me. Maybe she was there the whole time. That's why she's pissed off. About 3 miles from my house, I was working on the fence on the northeast pasture of Dave's land, mending a break that appeared to be, Susan me, strictly from a fallen log. Well, so I believed, Samantha seemed to come to a different conclusion and let me know fast enough. In my defense, it had been weeks. I felt like the danger passed. This is really poorly written. When she appeared, I followed her eyes to the point to the break in the log. I was almost at the point where laughing made sense when I studied the cuts. That's the only way to describe what broke the tree branch that fell on the fence. Cuts, well, that would be an inaccurate description. Then why'd you use it? It was more akin to a hack, a massive fissure. Something had intentionally severed the branch and let it fall, as if someone with a great axe had made it do so. How stupid are you? Samantha began. Very. Extremely. Thank you for asking. I could feel my temper spike, but there was like no book to throw, so we didn't know what to do. But as someone who was averse to flying off the handle, X to doubt, friend. You flew off the handle many times. You were like pushing, throwing things. That's really unacceptable. I slowed my roll. You actually wrote that. My eyes immediately went to the breaks in the branch closet to me. He means closest. I don't think there's a closet. Could be. Who knows? And I studied them with an eager eye. In truth, it was the first time I paid them any real mind. I could see the clean breaks, how pristine the separation in the wood looked. They were surgical separations. This was the work of something strong and who wielded something sharp. Perhaps their fingers, perhaps a blade. It all looked the same. Confronted with the evidence, I had nothing to offer in my defense. I should have seen that, I managed to reply, my hand moving reflexively to the handgun at my hip. I was suddenly aware of how deep and dense the surrounding forest was. It's an eerie feeling knowing that you're not the apex predator. Oh no, that there is something big and perhaps hungry looming unseen. The best comparison for this feeling is swimming in deep salt water. You know there are things below you, things that could and might possibly eat you. It's that feeling. The animalistic, primal worry that you could be something's meal if you're not careful. I mean, we have pit bulls. I feel like that's enough of a worry. For those of you who can't relate, well, you live a life much softer than mine. Okay, Salem. Oh, I guess I'm too much of a soft boy for Salem. Fucking nerd. That won't do anything other than piss it off, Samantha commented, her eyes following my hand to my holster. Your hands on your holster? Are you happy to see me? Where's your rifle? Oh, shit. She's shaming him. I jerked my head. In the truck. Still has those rounds you gave me in them, I said, anticipating the next question. She glared at me as if I'd kicked her dog or slapped her. I will never understand how someone who has seen what you have, done what you have, can still be so damn ignorant of the way of the world, she said, tapping the .30-30 she carried. I was a girl when we first came across these beasts, even being that tender, naive age. I still move about these woods with appropriate regard for the dangers they hold. I said nothing. I had no rebuttal of any merit. What could I have said? That a month later I felt safe? That I thought the danger had passed? No, I'm alive, motherfucker. I felt like many of the commenters on any number of news stories I'd seen online. The folks who read a story, then forgot about it as they went about their lives. The kind who forgot and then pretended, by their ignorance, that the dangers of the world did not exist because I had not immediately thought about them. I need some of those rounds for other guns. I began making my way back to the truck, not distinctly aware of how naked I felt without the .270. I'd be very grateful for some 9mm... 5.56 rounds laced with that poison of yours. She laughed. We are not an armory. Silver is not cheap. I frowned. Fine! I pulled the handgun free and ejected the magazine. Will lead work if it's rolled in the poison? She considered it, chewing her bottom lip for a moment. Not as well. Not with the immediate effect you need or are used to. The best would be a crossbow bolt. The silver arrowhead stays in the body much better than a bullet. Hollow points do well, but making them with silver is difficult. It's not quite as pliable as lead. Doesn't quite break apart the same.
If I gave you some silver, think you can make me a dozen rounds for each? I asked.
I figured that since silver rounds were rare and they'd given me some already, they more than not had a means of making them on their own.
Samantha laughed again.
You gonna just go off and mine it from these hills? I know they're plentiful with game, or they were, but mineral resources aren't what the hill country's known for.
No, I have some fine silverware at the house.
Oh, are you just gonna steal it? My mom might be mad if some of it went missing. Oh my God. No, Mom, it was for fighting werewolves. Why are you kicking me out? But I think she'd be far more upset if I turned up dead, I replied.
Wait till he finds out it's stainless steel.
I'd reached the truck now and opened the door. I freed my rifle from its place on the rack and checked it. I still had 4 rounds. I slung it over my shoulder and drove my question home by meeting her eye with an inquisitive look. Samantha raised an eyebrow.
Finally taking this serious, are we?
I frowned. Who died? You wouldn't come find me if something hadn't happened.
Kingsbury's dead. So are his wife and 2 kids. House looks like it was hit by a tornado.
My blood ran cold at the news. Why couldn't it have been Dave, he thought. I felt a rush of guilt and stupidity. Well, that's like a normal Tuesday, right? I'd brushed off that night. I'd pretended it was over even after what I'd heard, what I'd been told, what I knew was to be true. It was not a dream I had had. Yeah, it was stupid. I'd ask you scolding me now, hearing this, to just pump the brakes.
Yeah, he slowed his roll. Why can't you pump your brakes, pal? What are you doing, Buster?
Imagine if I told you pigs could fly.
Yes, there are air marshals.
You'd approach that with a good measure of skepticism if you weren't an idiot.
Don't tell me what to do.
Then I showed you one time alone. Then we went about our lives. Many months later, or so it would feel, I'd challenge you to recall for the world that pigs can fly. Would you recall honestly what you saw? Understanding the scrutiny that saying they could invoke?
I mean, you're going through a lot of hoops here.
Oh, was all I could manage. I knew what country etiquette required of me. I was supposed to offer condolences, but the family was dead and anyone who would actually want them was long departed.
Still think we need more proof Ruka's up to this? Or can we just go and put her down so she can't make more of these monsters?
Samantha challenged with as much malice in her voice as was required to convince me that if I disagreed, she'd level her weapon and put me down. I said nothing for a while, just kill him. I was at war within myself. There was no doubt I still wanted proof of her alleged transgressions before we did something rash, but people were dying still, and that required action.
You been up there? Seen her? Talked to her?
I stammered out after I found my voice. Samantha seemed a little taken aback.
No,
she said with the slightest hint of regret.
The rest of the canyon figures if we try, we'll get mauled for our trouble.
I considered her words while I brought up a mental map of the hills and hollers of the real county. I knew this land well now. Outside of my experience, both Dave and my father were steadfast about me knowing the maps of the local area like the back of my hand. I could see the Ruka property in my mind's eye, where the local map indicated her homestead was located at the junction of 2 rolling hills. If someone were to view it from up top of one of those hills, they could see the whole property with a scope, but not well enough to know magic had inflicted her. That would require someone to walk in and physically see her. Still, someone could be perched up high and watch that person's back. So basically go to her house to see if she's ugly and be like, oh my God, it's that or meth. Search for meth pipes. No meth pipes, kill her. A plan began to form in my mind. "You willing to walk in and do that?" I said, and was met with an immediate look of skepticism and speculated insanity. "Provided I'm watching you through a scope," I added hastily, taking the opportunity to thump my weapon. "This bad boy." "Not without knowing if you're as good as you say," she challenged in reply. "How might I prove that?" my counter-challenge came. Samantha didn't say much, only asked, "I follow her. He's got to execute Dave." So I did. Up through the draw between two austere hills to a perch up top. We had a clear view of the wide valley. Okay, I know they're not actually doing this. We had a clear view of the wide valley that overlooked Dave's property, and I'm just imagining. They really did it. They heard me. They said, we're sick of this motherfucker. He takes way too long. "Put in a regular round. Save the ones I gave you," she said, and settled in behind a large tree. Do you imagine if he shot the silver ones for practice? I did as she asked and found a good perch to sit on. There we sat for several hours, her offering no conversation, her eyes glued to a set of binoculars she'd produced from her pack. I spent the ensuing time ranging various landmarks, a sneaking suspicion that she wanted me to take a shot to prove my skill winning over. Knowing the speed of my round, its weight, the amount of gunpowder off the top of my head, I had a rough idea of what I could and could not hit. I considered other things like the wind, which was low, the humidity, which was oppressive. Well, yes, we know. It hits you like a blind man in a fog. It's just you're moist now. You're misted up. Assisted by the drop count hashes in my scope, I knew which has I needed to line up on the target at various guess ranges. This kept my mind occupied, but after a while, I got bored. My eyes felt heavy, and I found myself shifting more than I would like to keep myself alert. Finally, after an easy 4 hours of silence, she lowered the binoculars. 600 yards out, at our 10 o'clock. I raised my rifle hesitantly, my naked eyes scanning the hills below us. I gauged the distance and referenced the pre-plotted landmarks that might better help me find what she wanted me to see. "By the clump of trees or closer to the stream?" I asked. "Just off the clump of trees. Let's say 10 meters off, but it's moving fast toward the 9 o'clock, Samantha replied after another brief check through her binoculars. I raised my weapon, settling the butt into my shoulder and peering through the scope. I found what she was looking for. It was a coyote, moving at a lazily but still fast enough pace to cause problems at this range. The full magnitude of this exercise settled in at once. She wanted me to shoot it. To prove I could, just as I had suspected. It was a fair challenge. Like I've mentioned, people out this way tend to take your action over your word, and for good reason. And I mean, those coyotes weren't even people, so. I sighted in, dialing my scope to max power, settling the right has over the target. I knew ballistics well enough. A professional might have pre-sighed all of this better, but I was not so. Still, I felt confident. Dunning-Kruger effect. And I set my crosshairs just off its shoulder blade where I knew its heart and lungs would be. It was not my typical shot placement, but at 600 yards, the neck was too tricky a shot. I took note of my breathing cycle, settled into the rhythm, and moved my trigger finger against the trigger guard. Moving just slightly to keep the coyote in view, I slowly moved my finger off the trigger guard and onto the trigger itself. I found the natural pause in my own breathing cycle right between my exhale and inhale where my body was most stable. Once it was there, I began the slow pull, waiting for the trigger to go off and surprise me as I was taught. After what felt like an eon, my gun went off. My aim was true and my rifle steady. I was rewarded with the coyote tumbling out of view, jerked violently by a well-placed shot to its center chest.
I followed the cloud of dirt its violent revolutions kicked up and waited for them to clear. I was rewarded by the sight of a motionless, dead animal. Even at this range, I could make out the bright red of its blood mating its fur, pouring freely over the gaping wound in its side and wetting the earth. Just as a side note, for those of you appalled at my cruelty, and he has it in quotes, coyotes kill young calves and deer. They are a direct threat to a rancher's way of life, so fuck off. He writes that. My God, man. I don't like you. You're so aggressive and unnecessarily aggressive. Like, if, oh, you're concerned about an animal's life, fuck you, fuck your family, fuck everybody you love and care about. I hate you. Die, die. You know, like, it's calm down. It's fine. It's fucking fine. I have no qualms about killing them. Neither would you if a lost calf meant the difference between keeping your home or losing it to the bank. It was a nuisance. It's why she selected the target for me to shoot. Like, we didn't come at you. Like, you're very defensive about this. Satisfied with my shot and feeling I passed the test, I lowered my weapon. Samantha offered no praise, nor did I really expect her to do so.
Can you do that again? On Ruka, if it comes to it? She asked.
It took a while considering her question. I had no doubts, provided the time to sight in and understanding the ballistics of the bullet, I could. What I was uncertain of was, would I shoot just because she told me there was proof? Scopes were great, but picking out minute details at advanced ranges, still not in the purview of what they could do. At least with the scope on this rifle, I couldn't. There was one scope I owned that could, a scope that would let me see what I needed to, without her confirmation. It was the Night Force branded scope my dad kept on a 308, which I didn't have a specialty round for, nor was it a round in the caliber I'd requested. With the right weapon I could, I'd need a 308. You have any of these special rounds for one of them? I inquired. He just wants free silver. Before she could answer, I followed up with another request. I need to know how much the round itself weighed, and we need a round dozen to practice at that range. A round dozen. It'd be fine, except he separated A and round from a round, and he keeps talking about rounds. He needs a round dozen, so I'm thinking, is this just how you're trying to say a dozen rounds, but in a very strange way? No, he meant a round. Around a dozen? A round dozen. A total sum of a dozen. Nobody says a round dozen. Like an even dozen. But you don't say round dozen. Well, fucking weird. I'm sorry. You cannot use that turn of phrase if you're talking about rounds. To practice at that range, all exactly prepared as the one I'd have to use on her. Oh my God. He's getting angry again. Okay. For those of you fucking gamers listening to this, you can't just swap scopes like it's PUBG or that kid game, Fortnite. You need to mount it, level it out, and then test it with whatever round you want to use. Bullets vary in weight, and the amount of gunpowder that's packed behind the bullet itself, even ones of the same caliber. It's a painstaking process. One that for precision and accuracy, you have to work hard at. Oh, you wouldn't understand hard work, right? You young generations. Oh my God. Let's see. You don't put in the work, even the best scope mounted wrong or with the wrong bullet won't hit shit. I realize these asides take away from the flow of this story, but I'm familiar enough with the comments section to know how those self-proclaimed gun experts will be scrutinizing my every word. You know, I think I'm going to be leaving it there at him complaining about the scrutiny he receives. I think it's a really good time because, you know, she's going to be like, wow, I'm so impressed by your ability to kill that coyote, which, you know, don't complain about it. He's already told you preemptively to fuck off, you fucking gamers. So anyway, thank you gamers for listening, and hopefully you will join me this weekend for the worst rated erotica, and you can all
bully me into reading something fucking terrible that we all cringe at, and then we all collectively soothe the trauma with laughter. Hopefully you'll be laughing. And, you know, like I said, it happened off screen if you didn't, and hopefully you will be there, and I will see you next time. All right, bye, guys. Mwah.